Thanks, Ginger. I'm getting a feedback. Ignore it. So is this coming from my computer? Turn the sound off. Oh, let's see. If I could figure out how to do that, I would, but I'm going to let Ashley do it. And while he's doing that, I'm going to make another announcement because of the way the Lord led Ginger just to pray this morning, which I greatly appreciate. I am going to take care of an announcement that I was going to try to remember at the end, but now I don't have to remember it. I'm just going to give it right now. Some of you remember Matt and Christy Krebs, who were here some weeks ago. Actually, it was a Sunday where I was at home with COVID. But they were here and they presented the ministry that they are embarking upon, which is to take the gospel to a very a country that has been traditionally very, very closed, and there are very few born-again believers there. And he just passed on that they are getting very close to their goal, but that the government of this particular Muslim country has kind of changed some of the rules in terms of what they are requiring and so on. But I won't get into much of the detail other than to say some of you had indicated, and I don't even know which ones of you, but I'm just making this announcement on Matt's behalf. Some of you had indicated to him a possible interest in financially supporting his ministry. And he's just asking if possible. He doesn't want to pressure anybody. I assured him, look, I'm not interested in human pressure either. Holy Spirit pressure, I'm all about that, okay? So if the Spirit is prompting you to move ahead and make that decision to financially support them, if you would get on that, that would really help them. So again, just thanks on their behalf for at least considering the possibility of that. This morning, I'm super excited. I'm always excited about the message that the Lord has laid on my heart, and certainly the same goes for this morning. I'm going to be using Psalm 16 as a kind of a launching pad for what I'm going to talk about. And most of you know that our theme for this year has been and is in Christ. And we have been considering the many and various benefits of what it means to be in Christ. Who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ. And I was getting ready to choose yet another one of these benefits and describe it to you and talk about it, but I just thought, wow, they seem to be coming fast and furious, and sometimes it can seem like trying to drink in front of a fire hose. It's just all coming at you. And I thought it would be a good idea to just kind of take a break and step back and just kind of reorient. Now, why are we doing this again? And why is this important? Actually, what happened is for about the last three or four messages, I was going to share this as an introduction. And it seemed like every week, I just thought, this introduction is just too long. I'll wait till next week. And so I put it with the next week's notes, and then it came time to prepare. And okay, this will be my introduction. Wow, there's a lot of really great stuff here. I don't have time for it. And I kept kicking the can down the road, and I just decided to make it an entire message. So this has to do, in general terms, with this in Christ theme. Now, we're not going to get into the specifics of one of the many benefits of being in Christ. We're going to resume with that next week. But now that you've sat down and got yourself comfortable, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand back up again, and we're going to read this passage from Psalm 116, but maybe you'll notice the verse reference there. It's verses 7 through 9 and 12 and 13. And some of you really sharp people are going, what happened to verses 10 and 11? Well, without taking too much of my time, these are the verses. The psalmist said, I believed when I said, I'm greatly afflicted. I said, my alarm, all men are liars. What does that mean? There are some wonderful thoughts there, but a verse that came to my mind this morning as I had gotten up extra early. I was up till about midnight, just excitedly preparing, and then couldn't sleep much past four, got up again. I wasn't in turmoil. I got up because I was super excited in preparing. And the verse that came to my mind is where the Apostle Paul said to Timothy to be a workman. Timothy, as a pastor, as an elder, as a teacher of God's word, you had better work hard at it and be a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. I can't stand up before you this morning and say that I accurately and thoroughly really understand how these, I have some ideas. I don't want to waste a lot of my time, but I just want you to know, I don't want you to feel like, how come he's skipping these verses? He's kind of pulling the wool over our eyes. No, they're legit verses and they've a lot of wonderful meaning that I at least partly understand, but for today, we're just going to skip it, okay? So Psalm 116, 7 through 9, please stand and let's read through this passage together. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Thank you. Please be seated. There is a chorus that some of us older folks used to sing to that psalm. What shall I give unto the Lord for all he's done for me? Some of you know it. I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Actually, I learned in my preparation for this week's message that this Psalm 116 is part of a six psalm, I'll say chunk, of the Psalms. It's chapters 113 through 118. So six chapters, which are referred to as, or were referred to by the Jews as the Egyptian Hallel, the Egyptian Hallel. And it had to do with God's deliverance of the Jews from Egypt, and they would frequently often recite those six psalms during their various festivals, and especially during Passover. So the fact that we have a song to that is really fitting. So what I want to do this morning is really home in on the word benefits. Human nature, I pointed this out a few weeks ago, human nature is for us to look at a situation or someone is suggesting something that maybe we should do. And of course, the Holy Spirit has suggested to us, you should embrace Christ. You should embrace salvation. And our human nature is to go, okay, what's in it for me? And that's natural and that's normal. And so we've been discussing here in 2023, what are some of the many and various wonderful blessings of being in Christ? What are the benefits? And then flowing from that would be a logical question. What's my response to that? When I consider, again, I thought of just getting into yet another of the wonderful benefits of being in Christ. Come back next Sunday and we're going to tackle another one. But for this morning, I just want to step back and go, okay, it's really helpful if we from time to time go, okay, in light of these wonderful things, how am I to respond? What shall I render to the Lord? The word render is maybe not a word we use often. Some people who are good in the kitchen and are from the South know that that when you boil meat down, you have the rendering, that is the fat that comes from what you've extracted out of the various chunks of meat that are in the pot, okay? So it's what results, it's what comes out of the meat. And so in this case, what comes out of the benefits? What am I to render? It's not just about, well, maybe I can pay God back. No, we could never pay God back for what he's done for us. But this is Merriam-Webster. Render is to give in return or retribution. Give back, restore, reflect. Reflect. How can I reflect back to God? How can my life be an echo back to Him for the many wonderful things He's done for me? To give in acknowledgement of dependence or obligation. Pay. Okay, Merriam-Webster says it could mean pay. In our case, in this case, it's not about paying the Lord back. To do a service for another. What am I to do in light of what He's done for me? So the title of this morning's message, again, I'm not going to refer to a particular benefit necessarily, but the title is Our In Christ Benefits, How Shall We Then Live? Some of you, perhaps many of you, will recognize that subtitle, How Shall We Then Live, as the title of a film and book that was put together by theologian Francis Schaeffer. So I want to make it very clear, I'm borrowing from him. I'm not guilty of plagiarism here. So I want to give credit to Francis Schaeffer, this idea of, okay, what's our response? How are we to live? He wrote, How Should We Then Live? The Rise and Decline of Western Thought and Culture, back in 1976. But that's the question that we want to, every once in a while, as we tick through the different benefits, and a few that we've looked at so far this year, is the fact that we have redemption. We're known by God. We're appointed by Christ. One Sunday, I took a different tack, and I said, let's talk about what I'm not. I'm not part of this world. I'm an alien in this world. One Sunday, I gave a message called Dead Men Walking. And remember, I wore a suit like that you might wear to a funeral. And we kind of had this little mock funeral for you all to help underscore the reality that if you're in Christ, you've died. You're dead. I have and am God's righteousness. That's another blessing of being in Christ. I have been created in Him for good works. Again, I'm not going to, again, to attempt to even summarize. Those are entire messages. But we want to answer instead the question, in light of some of these things we're looking at, how should we then live? So let's go ahead and sort of take this passage apart and see what we can learn. So he starts out by saying, return to your rest. Return to your rest. Beware of your frequent straying. By the way, I am going to, I've made sort of an acrostic. It's not sort of an acrostic. It is an acrostic. And it's the word benefits. And so the B in benefits is beware of your frequent straying. And I include myself in that. How often do we come to a gathering like this? We hear the word of God and we just go, oh, God is awesome. It is so fantastic to know Christ, to be in Christ. And we just, woo, we're on a kind of a spiritual high. And then we walk out the door. And then what happens? Monday comes, right? And things start happening. We lose perspective. And all of a sudden you just go, what happened to that, whatever I had on Sunday, that euphoria or that excitement or that peace that I had when I was thinking about all the wonderful things that God has done for me. And yet this little thing that now seems so big has just seized my emotions and it's taken over. And it seems so big compared to these other things that I know are important. And we stray, don't we? We start, our emotions get carried away and we get preoccupied with these relatively insignificant things, truth be told. They're significant at the time, right? They seem so big and so important, but we stray, don't we? So those strayings, I don't know about you, in me, they're frequent. I regularly have to kind of reel myself in. Our souls frequently go from rest to non-rest. We rest in Christ. Ah, Jesus did these wonderful things for me. Ah, it's awesome. Oh, I'm so glad to be saved. I'm at rest. And then something happens and oh, I'm not at rest anymore. So we frequently are these yo-yos, aren't we? So return to your rest. And then the psalmist says, oh, my soul. So we understand that He's speaking to his soul. And we need to learn how to do that. Do you know that at least 9 times in the Psalms alone, the psalmist talks to his soul? Do you talk to your soul? Be at rest. Go back to your rest. Remember that rest you had when you were thinking about all the great things you had? Go back there and sit down and shut up. Sorry, it's just like, we need to learn how to boss our souls around a little bit, to be honest. Bless the Lord, O my soul, Psalm 101. Why are you in despair, O my soul? A number of times, the psalmist says that to his soul. What are you so bent out of shape about? We need to learn to be this way, to entreat our soul. If we frequently stray, then we need to frequently learn to entreat our soul. Say, come on, soul, get with the program. Don't let yourself get so whacked out about stuff and forget the great. God is not asking you to put on blinders and pretend that you don't have problems. That is not what I'm talking about. Rather, God gives you and me the courage to face our problems squarely, but also not forget about these wonderful things that God has done and is doing for us. Thank you. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Let's talk about this word dealt. How easy it is to just go, man, boy, did I get a raw deal. I got dealt. Boy, you see the hand that I got dealt. And we use this word dealt, don't we, to sometimes describe, if not describe, at least think about how my circle, well, wow, well, what happened? Now what? It's as if, you know, fate is dealing this bad hand to me. And the psalmist says, the Lord has dealt bountifully. Never undervalue the hand you have been dealt. God has given you a pretty fair hand. Again, I'm not trying to minimize the issues that you're facing. I know people, I face challenging issues. My kids face challenging issues. And we're you know, you parents know this, you never stop being your kids' parents. And some of my kids are here today and they're fully grown adults, but I'm still their dad. And when they hurt, I hurt. So I'm not trying to say, let's put on blinders and pretend we don't have problems, but let's just not let the wonderful things God has done for us and is doing somehow be minimized or diminished or undervalued. I'd like to jump over to Psalm 17 to help us understand this better. The psalmist says, keep me as the apple of the eye, the apple of the eye. Several places in scripture, God says of his people Israel, you're the apple of my eye. It's the idea like you're the pupil, the apple or the pupil. And you know that if someone gets close to you and they, you know, move quick, it's just your body just automatically protects. God made you that way. You automatically kind of recoil. You want to protect your very sensitive eye. And God is that way with you and me. He values us. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who despoil me. Who what? Who despoil me. Now, that's not a word that we commonly use in our vernacular, but it's in the Bible. So what might that mean? The wicked despoil me, David said. Merriam-Webster says, despoil means to strip of belongings, possessions, or value, to pillage. And you have wonderful belongings, possessions in Christ. You have such great value. Your spiritual portfolio is like out of this world. And the devil can't take that away, but he's going to try to get your eyes off of it or somehow minimize it, make it seem less valuable. My deadly enemies who surround me, please understand, you have, in one sense, you have a deadly enemy in the devil. Now, he's not deadly in the sense that he can grab you and take you to hell. No, he's lost you forever for good. Whew, that's good to know, isn't it? What's the next best thing? Sometimes I think this way. I don't know if you do. Sometimes I think, well, if I were the devil, what would I do? A little weird, but I'll tell you what I would do. If I were the devil, the next best thing, because I know I can't bring you to hell, I can neutralize you. I can make you go spiritual comatose, flatline. So you're on the sidelines, you're paralyzed, you're thinking about 101 other things other than what the Holy Spirit wants you to be thinking about. And you're no use in terms of kingdom things. And in effect, he has pillaged you. Now, you still possess those wonderful things, but you're not realizing them. You're not walking in the light of them. You've been despoiled. So when you consider the way that God has dealt bountifully with you, you need to learn to enumerate your in Christ blessings, to be familiar with them so that you can recall them and list out. Probably some of you have employers, and in the company you work for, there's an HR department, and every once in a while they sit you down and they make sure that you understand all the benefits that you have because you work for this company. And they, you know, you might go, oh yeah, I know. Oh yeah, I kind of forgot. Oh yeah, forgot about that. Oh, forgot about that one. So we need to do that spiritually. And from time to time, we need to be enumerating our in Christ blessings. We need to count our blessings. We think, now that sounds kind of trite, doesn't it? Well, there's a hymn, Count Your Blessings. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you're called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. And the refrain, yeah, you laugh, okay, go ahead and laugh. But we can say, you know, we can remind kids, hey, you know, count your blessings, and yet fail to do that ourselves. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. That's all the psalmist is saying. You have dealt bountifully with me. So we need to enumerate our in Christ blessings. So you've rescued my soul from death. Talk about the many blessings. That's the first one that he lists. The very first one is salvation. There it is again. You've rescued. I heard someone say recently, you know, this was a Christian who recently said, if God never did anything else for me, I would praise him for the rest of eternity. Why? You as a believer, if you're in Christ today, you were on the broad road leading to destruction. You were helpless. You were hopeless. You did nothing to save yourself. You were who's the guy who wrote Amazing Grace? John Newton, yeah. He saved a wretch. What's a wretch? That simply means someone who's absolutely helpless. They are totally unable to help themselves. That's who you were. That's who I was. And we were like getting ready to go over the waterfalls, you know, on the broad road leading to destruction. And he saved. He picked us up out of the miry clay, set our feet on a rock. He picked us up off that broad road and put us on the narrow road that leads to life. So he rescued your soul from death. So you need to enumerate your in Christ blessing. And the very first one to enumerate is salvation. That's the granddaddy of them all. If nothing else, your entire world could blow up this afternoon. And you could, and arguably you ought to go, you know what? My world just blew up, but you know what? I'm saved. The God of heaven loves me. I don't know why he let this happen, but he did. My eternity is secure. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful for that. So that's the first one. You've rescued my soul from death. And the next thing he says, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I think we would do well to imagine, and I do this from time to time, imagine the pain from which you've been rescued. The pain from which you've been rescued. He has rescued you from so much grief. Have you had grief in your life? Yes, you have. Have you had tears? I'm sure you have. I've had tears. Have you stumbled? Yeah. Have I stumbled? Yeah. But also on the other side, he has saved you from a lot of tears by virtue of the fact that you're in Christ. Ooh, when I think of my life, I just think, let me just take one example. As we know, people often try to deal with their pain and try to cope with the difficulties of life by getting into destructive behavior. And often it becomes addictive, and it becomes very destructive to that person's personal life and his family. I can remember as a very young boy, I had some money in my pocket because I was a paper boy. I had my own paper route, and I had a couple dollar bills in my pocket every week. And our parish had a festival, and at the festival, we had gambling. And I kid you, true story, and on my paper route was a bookie joint, an illegal gambling enterprise. The front, it was fronted as a restaurant. There was no one there who cooked. No food was seen in there, but you walk in and it's got this menu with these really old prices. It was a front. It was illegal betting. And they were one of my customers. And so I walk either side down these two blocks to the highway, go one block and then back the other street. And so when I get down to the highway, I'm at the bookie joint. That's what we all called it. Everybody knew that's what it was. The local sheriff was on the take, true story, to just ignore it. But I can remember sitting in there and hearing those guys talk and say, you know, you can go down here to St. Church and gamble, and yet they'll come in here and bust us and haul ourselves, didn't say selves, haul us away in the paddy wagon when you can go down here to St. And gamble away. And that's, so when the festival time came, that wheel going around, and I put some dollars down and man, doubled my money. And you know, that's a drug. That is a very addictive drug. And that's just this one small example. I look back in that and go, oh man, I could have easily gotten addicted to gambling and wrecked my life and wrecked my family's life. Now, thank God, I have no gambling problem whatsoever. Don't get me too started talking about gambling, because it's a bad idea. Put it that way. It's a really bad idea. But anyway, God has spared me from so many tears. I'm not a drug addict. I could have been a drug addict. I'm not a drug. Now, if you've struggled with drug addiction, my heart goes out to you. It really does. And it's a very real battle. I don't want to in any ways minimize. But I just want to encourage you. Could you just step back and go, what are all the things that I could have gotten into? Had God not saved me, wow, I could have gotten into some really destructive things. Imagine the pain from which you've been rescued. Insert some other word, sadness, grief, sorrow, brokenness, devastation. God has saved you from a lot. I better go fast because I got a lot more to do. Okay, Psalm 71. Jonah's in the back with the kids. She encouraged me, Jack, take all the time you need to share what you got to share. Okay. Yes, Joan, I'm listening to you. Okay. Last weekend, I wasn't here because Joan and I were up in Canton at our 50-year class reunion. We had a blast. It was so much fun. And I got to share things related to the Lord with a number of people. And Sunday morning, the big event was Saturday night. Sunday morning, some of my high school buddies, we were on the debate team together, and we had breakfast together, and they know I'm a pastor. So I really try to, not, because I think they kind of have their guard up, like he's going to try to preach to us. And I try to just stay back and kind of lay back and let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. And so we were talking at breakfast, and the theme that came up, and I did not initiate this, but among the other four guys, they were talking about how the fact that, wow, think about how we grew up. We could tend to think, oh, we pulled ourselves, and all these were very successful people. Guy on Wall Street, a guy worked for congressional committees, a guy who is a successful attorney, they're all retired now. But really, by the world standards, really successful. And they said, you know what? What we became had so much to do with things out of our control, where we were born, to whom we've been born, our parents did such a good job, I mean, with what they had to work with. That is just so important to realize. The psalmist says, by you I have been sustained from my birth. You who are he who took me from my mother's womb, my praise is continually of you. I think about this a lot. I don't know about you. I think about my past life. I think about growing up. I think about different circumstances that I went through as a little kid. Now, I didn't come to personal faith in Christ until age 19. But here's the psalmist saying, by you I've been sustained from my birth. Can I say that? Is that accurate? Look at this little sidebar here. This is from the New Testament. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him. That's a blessing, to be chosen by God. When did that happen? Before the foundation of the world, that we'd be holy and blameless before him. When did God choose you? If you're in Christ today, God chose you. God chose me. I don't know how to put a year on it, but it was way before the world was founded. Imagine that. In his mind, he looked ahead and he saw the you that would be, and he chose you. What a mind-blowing thing. Well, then the world came into being and time started, and I'm not going to walk through human history with you. Back in the year, 1500, none of you, we didn't exist, but still God had chosen you. You were still in the future. And now the day comes of that you were born. Here's a little baby you. And we'd have to say, there's a little chosen baby you. Some people, this doctrine makes some people uncomfortable. What, God chose me? What about other people? I don't want to get into an argument, but I can say absolutely positively, if you're saved today, I know God chose you. Well, he chose everybody. Okay, I'm not going to get into the argument. God chose you. So I think here's little 7-year-old Jackie Stockdale. I don't know, walk around the neighborhood or doing whatever I did when I was 7. Going to grade school, I was in first grade. And Sister Perpetua, an elderly nun with 60 kids in class, and she's teaching things about God that made an impression on me. Wow, God was at work in chosen, yet to be regenerated Jackie Stockdale. God's hand was on me. God's hand was on you long before you came to personal faith in Christ. Can you appreciate that? Can you be thankful for that? 11 verses later in the same chapter, oh God, you've taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I'm old and gray, oh God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. Ah, for your righteousness, oh God, reaches to the heavens. Your righteousness reaches to the heavens. That verse, to me, I just go, okay, what does that say? That God's righteousness is, it's a way up to the heavens righteousness, and that just reminds me how far he is from me. He's way up there. He's holy, he's righteous, and I'm just little old me. I want to show you a clip. Frank Turek, Bill is smiling because Friday morning, Bill came to the prayer meeting, and he said, wow, I had a great time at a meeting last night over at OSU where Frank Turek spoke. He's a Christian apologist. You can find some online stuff from him. And we're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to watch just a clip of Frank Turek talking about the heights of the heights of the heavens. So go ahead, Ethan, and hit that.
Now, how high are the heavens? Notice what the psalmist says. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. How high are the heavens above the earth? I mean, if it's going to take us 200,000 years at 5 miles a second just to go between two stars in our galaxy, how high are the entire heavens? Well, the Hubble Space Telescope helped us discover that. Way back almost 20 years ago now, they trained the Hubble Space Telescope on 1/26 millionth of the sky for about 11 days of exposure time. What's 1/26 millionth of the sky? Go outside tonight, put a piece of rice on the end of your finger, hold it up. That piece of rice represents about 1/26 millionth of the sky. What did they find in this little speck of sky? This is called Hubble Ultra Deep Field. I don't know if you can see this. See along the bottom here? These are mountains, okay? This is the southern hemisphere. And I'm going to show you what they found. They made a little composite video out of this. What you're going to see when the video comes up is you're going to see the constellations come up, and then Hubble's going to zoom out to this 1/26 millionth of the sky. There is no audio. It's just video. This is in the public domain. You can Google this and find this little video. You guys ready? Okay, here we go. Hubble Ultra Deep Field. There are the constellations. Now let's see what they found. What you're looking at are nearly 10,000 galaxies in 1/26 millionth of the sky, each of these galaxies with billions of stars of their own. Now, if you find Ten thousand galaxies in 1/26 millionth of the sky. How many stars are there in the entire universe? The number of stars in the entire universe, according to researchers at the University of Hawaii, is about equivalent to the number of grains of sand on all the beaches on all the Earth times 100,000. And to go from just one star to another star, going 5 miles a second, will take you over 200,000 years.
So I don't know about you, but my brain's about ready to explode, you know? Now when we read, your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens, that's just a mind-blowing thing. God, his to the heavens righteousness, it's so way up there, and I'm just way down here. Until you realize, 2 Corinthians 5 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. What? The far up, way up in the heavens righteousness of God. You and I, Christian, we possess that righteousness. Ephesians 2 says, God raises up with him, seated us with him. God's way up there. Guess where you are? Up there with him. Wow, what a thrilling truth. This truth alone will just change your life. You who have done great things, oh God, who is like you? Who is like God that would take sinful human beings, save them, and raise them up to be up there with him? Hey, how about those Buckeyes? You see the game yesterday? Hey, I'm not picking on the Buckeyes. Good for the Buckeyes. I'm a Buckeye fan. I'm glad they won. How about God, right? How about God? Let's get some perspective. The Lord's high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who's like the Lord enthroned on high? Paul mentioned this verse earlier. Who humbles himself to behold things in heaven and on earth. He raises the poor from the dust. You and I, poor, helpless sinners, he raises from the dust, lifts the needy from the ash heap. It would be enough if he just rescued us out of the dust to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. Who is the prince of all the princes? Jesus. And we're there with him. Wow. So the psalmist says, I'll walk before the Lord in the land of the living. It's easy to look around and curse your circumstances. I can't believe things are like they are. Get a life. This is the land. We're living the dream. You ever heard people kind of joking? Hey, how you doing? Oh, living the dream. They kind of say it in derision. It's kind of a mocking. Like, oh yeah, big dream this is. Wow, this is a dream. If you're saved, you're walking with God who has blessed your socks off. Woo, man, I am just about out of time. How shall we then live? What shall I render? What am I to give to God in light of this? What am I to give for all his benefits toward me? He's dealt bountifully. Remember, old things passed away. New things have come. Bountiful blessings are in Christ's benefits. How shall we then live? He says, I'll lift up the cup of salvation. That's what I'll do. That's my response. Lift up can also easily in Hebrew be translated, take. I'll take the cup of salvation. And many commentators associate taking the cup of salvation. It's spelling the word benefits. I guess you figured that out. Take the cup of salvation. Many of them associate what you and I did about a half an hour ago. Jesus said, take, eat. This is my body. It's not just walking forward and picking up a piece of bread. Okay, that's great. We need to do that. Every day, Jesus is saying to you, I've given myself. Would you just allow your soul to be nourished on me? I'm the bread from heaven. Would you take? Would you open your heart? Would you open the door again to me and allow me to rule and reign and come in and have fellowship with you? Drink from it, all of you. He offers the cup. And the psalm says, I'll take that. I'll embrace it. I'll own it. I'll take the cup of salvation. And as I was, new things popping out of the scriptures to me as I prepared, I have read Matthew 26. I don't know. I couldn't even put a number on it. I never really noticed all of you. Well, you know, being super excited about God, that's for the really emotional people, or that's for the, you know, but I'm drink from it, all of you. Jesus offers the cup of salvation. I'm not talking about people accepting Christ. Yeah, it's about accepting Christ. I'm talking about already saved people taking the cup of salvation and calling upon the name of the Lord. Again, render is to give in return or retribution, give back, restore, reflect, echo, to give an acknowledgement of dependence or obligation. How can my life reflect, be an echo to what he's done for me? He says, I'll call upon the name of the Lord. So S is seek God's kingdom in all things. It's not just, well, here's my Sunday morning thing I do over here and I think about God for a while, but then there's the rest of my life where I try to deal with all the stuff of life. No, allow God's involvement in every relationship, in every difficulty, in every aspect of your life, with nothing untouched by his presence and his grace and his power and his truth. So our little HR meeting, we just went over, we didn't detail your benefits, but we talked about the importance of you grasping and living in light of those benefits. So may God use his holy, powerful, eternal word to change you and me with these truths this week. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for your mind-blowing. There's no other way to say it. Your mind-blowing truth. And we so easily gloss over it. We just read it and just go on and just miss. Oh, God. Would you please help each of us to more fully appreciate and live in light of the bountiful blessings, the benefits we have and enjoy of being in Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.